1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:18. Notice this. According to what? According to the prophecies that went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. Now, the one type of people you don't want to listen to. Let me get down here so I can see you better without lights coming off my glasses. One type of people you don't want to listen to when it comes to doctrine. What does doctrine mean? The established teaching of the church is evangelists. Because evangelists aren't called to set doctrine. They're called to win souls. Now, that's a gift. How many know we need souls getting saved? Otherwise, we're going to be the chosen few within a few years' time. But evangelists don't set doctrine. And so there was this evangelist. He was in a church I know of. And he held up his Bible and he said, if you need a word from God, here it is. Now that sounds good, but may I say this? When Paul, who was used of God to write the scriptures, told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you got prophecies that are going to help you war and win the war. He didn't say you got scriptures, though you do have scriptures, because hear me, scripture sets the foundation. Scripture is the inspired word of God. Scripture is the judge, but true prophecy is the living word. In other words, the Bible coming alive. And I'll say this, that's the first guideline. I don't care who prophesies what. If it's not in agreement with the Bible, it's not God. It's not God. And, you know, I've seen real devastation because we got groups like the Mormons and New Age, and it was former a group called the Unification Church. They're called the Moonies. All these people got so-called prophecies or so-called visions that were from the devil. And to be careful, this is just so basic, but it's ignored. Any prophecy is in line with the written word of God. Any prophecy. Now that's basic. And hear me, when a prophecy is given, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Here was Paul writing. And he says this. 1 Thessalonians, it's chapter 5. Notice verse 19. Don't quench the spirit. Now notice verse 20. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast what is good. And you can compare 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, verse 29, let the prophets speak two or three and let others judge. Now, when a word is given to you by God, from God, supposedly from God, it must be evaluated. I said it must be evaluated. If number one, is it in agreement with Scripture? Number two, does it confirm something you already know? Number three, is it speaking of past, present, or future? And does it demand immediate response, or is it something that demands faith until God and God alone can bring it to pass? For example, when the angel told Mary she was going to have a baby, all she had to do was believe for the impossible. That's all she had to do. I'd rather have to, like Peter, come. That was a prophetic word. Come. He had to then walk on the water. Even though that demanded a miracle, it would be a lot easier than say, I'm going to have something happen to me that's never happened to anyone on the face of the earth. Without any man touching me, I'm going to bring forth a child. And what's required of you, Mary? Just that you believe. Because there's going to be a performance. If you look in the book of Luke, chapter 2 in there, there's going to be a performance if you believe. And Mary said this, be it unto me according to your word. Yeah. And so when God speaks something like he's going, there was a guy and his wife was living with his parents in New Hampshire. And they were broke, as broke can be. They had a baby and they didn't even have money for a crib. They used the one of the drawers in the chest drawer for the baby's crib. And they were broke and he was trying to get a business and everything was going wrong. And their marriage was down and for the count. And I gave him a word that God was going to prosper them and give them a business and everything and wealth. And he thought it was crazy, but now he's a well-to-do chiropractor. Hallelujah. And it would seem so impossible, but this thing I want to even tell you about your faith. You can get words that seemingly are beyond your ability to believe. If it's a true prophetic word, hear me, God is going to train you to believe in the process of the word coming to pass. just like a kid, a parent teaches them to walk, they fall a lot of times before they can get up and go. But there's been things God has spoken to people that only He could do. And when He speaks it, I'm glad it's not the bad news. I'm glad it's the gospel. It's the good news. And this is a, you know, I've seen people misuse prophecy as a fear tactic. May I say this? Anything that comes from heaven, you don't have to fear. Because God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. And this has to be understood, dear people. Some backgrounds, their idea of a prophet is someone who comes in and criticizes and judge and speaks bad to the church. Romanian churches, I've seen that. I've seen it in African-American churches. That's nonsense. We have enough problems without importing them. Hallelujah. And we don't need somebody coming in and telling you all that's wrong with you. We need someone coming in and helping you make it right. And so real prophecy is redemptive. How many hear that? First, it's an agreement with scriptures, but then it's redemptive. I said, it's what? Redemptive. What does that mean? It's from the goodness of God. Amen. Friend of mine, he's in heaven now, but him and his wife were some of the best marriage counselors I've ever seen. It was their third marriage. They finally got it right. They didn't have to go through that, and they'd have told you that. They just ran from God for years, and she grew up in real abuse. But God turned it around, and that's what I think redemption is. God turns it around. And so real prophecy will turn things around if we will walk with it. Amen. And this has to be understood in America today when all these words, so-called words of judgment are coming about America. Hear me, even in the Old Testament, God's judgment wasn't final. When God judged Israel, He always brought them back to Himself, even if it took 70 years. So God has a good plan for your life. God has a good plan for your church. God has a good plan for this nation. And we want to hear the pieces of the puzzle that will make that become whole in our lives and come to pass. So prophecy, number one, is scriptural. Number two, it's redemptive. And number three, it must be evaluated. When it says judge, that doesn't mean judgment about it. Now, it's so important that what's given in the Spirit is understood in the Spirit. Go to the end of the book of John. What's given in the Spirit has to be understood what? In the Spirit. All right. The end of the book of John, chapter 21, verse 20. Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his chest at supper, said, Lord, which is he that betrays you? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will it, he tarry till I come. What is that to you? Follow me. Then there went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus didn't say to him, he shall not die. But if I will it, he tarry till I come. What is that to you? You see, Jesus said something in the Spirit. And then people that heard it judged or evaluated it in the soul or in the flesh. And when you get a word that seems impossible, you don't need carnal people trying to tell you what it means or what it doesn't mean. And this can you need pastors, whoever you put evaluating prophetic word, particularly if it's an in-depth revelatory word that has to do with someone's future or healing of someone's past or present issues, you don't need novices discerning this. You really don't, because what's spoken in the Spirit, we need someone to really make it clear to us. You hear what I'm saying? Really make it clear to us, because what's given in the Spirit has to be interpreted in the Spirit. Really has to. Because here was the Lord, he said, look, if I will it, he tarry till I come, what is that to you? And they said, he's not going to die. But that wasn't anything that Jesus was saying. And we have to watch this, because it's 1 Corinthians also says, chapter 14, God's not the author of confusion. So if God's not the author of it, we know the enemy is. He wants to bring confusion about the true prophetic word. Now, may I say this, if we leave out the gifts of the Spirit, we will be greatly damaging God's church and greatly restricting God's church and bringing ourselves to a place within a generation or so, we can become a house of bondage. Some of the darkest places I've been, I've preached in outside of Hindu temples, I've preached around Muslim mosques, I've preached in prisons, I've preached around Satanist places, Tibetan Buddhism. But some of the darkest places I've ever spoken in are Pentecostal churches that once had revival, then hardened their heart or closed themselves off to the Spirit of God. And beware the when you have that you walk in the light, lest the light you have becomes darkness, Jesus said. Walk in the light as He's in the light. So people that had the light and shut it down, for example, I go through a lot of villages driving before, not now so much, but before, and way out places in America, and you see these shut down Methodist churches, or they're a bar today, or someone's house today. They were once full of revival 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And what happened when Pentecost came to North America? So many of the Methodists said no. And so they'd said no to the light, and darkness came. And there's groups, all different Pentecostal groups, that have said no to prophecy, no to visions, no to revelation. And their light becomes darkness because the Holy Spirit is God by His Spirit ever moving and ever revealing Himself to humanity. How many want fresh moves of the Spirit of God in your life and church? And prophecy plays a major role in this. Even as a church, John 13, that's going to make decisions, we want to see here, Acts 13. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now, this is the thing, I was telling this to Stephen today. There are traveling ministries, friends of mine, that have been extremely hurt in local churches. I told people when they pulled that one on me, I said, before I got saved, I got hurt in a bar. But I was back the next night to do unto others what they did to me. Hallelujah. Anyhow. But just because people get hurt in a church, that's not a reason to abandon God's church, because all of true spiritual ministry builds up God's church. How many hear that? And so the prophets in the New Testament were in the church, not outside of the church, speaking against the church. I knew one guy, he was a man of God, but he got into some serious wrong directions at the end of his life. And he was sending out a newsletter that if you're not fed in your church, meet in your home and he would send you his messages. God help us. But here's a church, Barnabas and Simeon, and it was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manatan, and Saul. If you study this, this was an interracial, international group of people that were brought together in one of the most strategic regions of the Roman Empire. And they'd really broke through the ethnic barrier and the racial barrier. They were one in Christ, and they became the missionary church of the New Testament. But here was a strategic time, and it says, notice this, verse 2, as they ministered the Lord and fasted. Why is this important? Because worship and fasting opens the spirit realm. People that are in the occult and witchcraft fast to step into the demonic realm. So do the Hindus, so do the Buddhists. Fasting causes us to enter the spirit realm because we deny our bodies and open our souls and spirits to the unseen world. And so fasting, when they were doing this at Antioch, they were preparing an atmosphere for God to speak. Now let me say this. If you want prophetic word anywhere, and you just show up and your mind's wandering and you're rushed to get home to watch the news and you're fighting with your wife or husband on the way. Of course, that's only in California. But anyhow, you know, all hell's breaking loose and you want to hurry up. No, we've got to prize the atmosphere. We've got to prime the pump. We've got to, whoever's me or anybody else is up here ministering, you've got to help them help you. So it's a great disservice to you and to whoever. When you don't do your part, you hinder them from doing their part. And I've gone some places it's been so easy, it's just flowed. I've been other places like trying to pull teeth out of a big dog, you know, you go get bit. Because people are, what Hosea and Paul warns are not to be, they're ignorant. They don't know. Now, it's one thing to be ignorant because you haven't heard. It's another thing to be Scripture warns us, willfully ignorant. That is, you won't apply yourself to learn what's right. So you got to know what is going on. What is going on? And when someone gets a prophetic word, the Scripture calls you the body of. When somebody gets a prophetic word, it's like you're getting a prophetic word because they're your brothers and sisters. And you're joined together. So you're there praying for them and standing with them. You're building an atmosphere. If it's just you getting a prophetic word, that's selfishness. And whether it's my life or your life, God can only bless selfishness so much. But where there's a Holy Ghost atmosphere. I was just in Siberia. That's in the eastern part of Russia. They have 10 time zones. I was about 6 time zones over. And there was a church that had been in fasting and constant intercession around the clock type for months. And when I went there, we'd start praying and you had to stop them or it would go on for hours without any push or anything. It's just such a manifest presence of Almighty God. I got some CDs I'll show you this time, God willing. But the prophetic went so deep, details and specifics and everything, and it was no effort. You know why? They had prepared the atmosphere. So I'll say this, to go high in the prophetic before any, or gifts of healing, before anyone gets here, we have to prepare a atmosphere. And you say, I don't know about that. Well, listen, when Jesus went to Nazareth, there was such a negative atmosphere, he couldn't do much but lay hands on a few people. No big things happened, no mighty works. But he'd go other places, he would say, boo, and all these miracles would happen. There was an atmosphere built. And may I say this, in America, we need to really cultivate an atmosphere for the supernatural. We drastically need that atmosphere because what's going on in the spirit realm is not God's will. It's not God's will young people die with cancer. It's not God's will that a lot of other hellish things happen. God wants it stopped. How many want to stop the enemy having his way and open up the door for God to do in your life his will and purpose? Amen. See, atmospheres matter. I said atmospheres matter. I was telling Stephen the other night, there's this miracle ministry. It was in Virginia. They had a campground. He's with the Lord now. But they started worshiping at 7 o'clock at night. And the guy had a great healing ministry. He didn't move until midnight. 5-hour worship service. A lot of places I know, everybody would have walked out. But at midnight, he says, the atmosphere's right now. And he said, anyone come up and they need healing. And a mother brought her stooped over boy. Part of his spinal column was missing. I don't know, hardly held together. And he was like a hunchback cripple. And Wallace Heflin walked right up and slapped that boy. And you heard a crack, crack. He said, Mama, put your hand there. She screamed and didn't fall out in the spirit. She literally passed out. There was a brand new piece of the spinal column created by God Almighty at the spot. Then all these wheelchairs and blind eyes and cripples start being healed. Because why? That man knew how to cooperate with God and wait for the stirring of the water, wait for the atmosphere to get right. Now, I've gone on little sleep. I've gone on a lot of sleep. I've gone on no sleep. My son, I wanted to lay hands on him and not for prayer once, went on an hour and a half sleep flying all the way from California to Romania. He'd made me the keynote speaker in a morning session the next day at a conference. Hallelujah. So there was great grace. But I want to say this. How much do we want to hear from God? Acts 13, they really wanted to hear from God and they built an atmosphere and God was going to speak to them. You know, there's people, if they don't hear from God, their marriage is over. If they don't hear from God, their kids are going to be taken out. If they don't hear from God, that healing is not going to come to pass. If they don't hear from God, they're going to go bankrupt. If they don't hear from God, they're going to wander in the wilderness not knowing what the call and purpose of God on their life is. And that's why I kindly tell you, we've got to encourage people to build an atmosphere. I was in Indiana once. I'm walking down the aisle at a conference. All of a sudden, a woman grabs my arm. I said, what do you want? I didn't know her. She said, I fasted 21 days. God told me you're going to deliver me. I said, yeah, right. And kept on walking. Hallelujah. How's that for not being pastoral? Next day, she said, I need to talk to you. What? She said, no, God really told me you're the one to get me free. I said, get your pastor's permission, get another woman. And you know, by the word of knowledge, God went all the way back to her childhood. And by the time we were done, she was free. She built an atmosphere. to get help from God. And so it's important when we understand prophecy, God speaking through appointed and anointed vessels, male or female, is scriptural. It's redemptive, though it must be evaluated in the Spirit and according to the Word. But prophecy demands that we build an atmosphere, hear me, an atmosphere for what? To honor the Holy Spirit. How many hear that? To do what? Now, I was raised in a home, though it was plenty of negatives, but I was raised in a home where we were taught to respect our elders. My wife is a teacher, and a lot of kids today, they don't know how to be quiet in public school, sit down and learn something. And then they bring that into the church, and the devil wants us to believe nobody can sit down and listen, no young person can learn. But that's a lie. Let me hear that. That's a lie. We need to show respect towards age, anointing, ministry, and above all, God Himself. And when God is speaking, well, you don't sit there and goof around. You don't sit there and not pay attention. You don't sit there and kids, you know, make all this noise. We've got to show a reverence. That's what worship is, reverence and an adoration to God. Because let's build an atmosphere where Almighty God can manifest Himself. And let's look what happened. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Spirit of God said. Now, what did He say? Long word. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I would have said, any more? That's kind of a short word. We've been fasting and praying for days. But you know something? When God created the world in Genesis, God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. There didn't have to be any long drawn out law of physics explaining to the creation what was going on. Just God said it, and it was done. When Paul and Barnabas got this word, this was one of the most powerful prophecies in the whole New Testament, because it was the word that opened nations that had never heard about Jesus before, that changed societies who were totally in the hands of the devil. This was a word that literally was just going to destroy the satanic kingdoms on the earth in that generation. And we are the spiritual descendants of the converts of Barnabas and Paul. May God cause us to build an atmosphere that will release such prophetic revelation that will impact and bless the generations to come. Amen. My goodness, you know, we get so used, I know it's around here, we get so used to Walmart and sales and Costco's and Sam's Club. We look for the best deal at the lowest price, amen? But may I say this, in the things of the Spirit, there are no sales, there are no deals. It costs the blood of Jesus, and it calls for a people that recognize and revere the Spirit of God and will pay a price in prayer and fasting and worship until the strong man is bound and the only voice that's speaking is the voice of God Almighty. Because I say this, because I want the highest level of prophetic revelation for all your lives and my life. And I don't want leftovers and I don't want crumbs from the table. My God, I want something supernatural. I said, I want something supernatural. I don't want to get something that means nothing then or later. I want something that's profound. Like I was in a line. And this church, I talked to the apostle, because he's an apostle that started the church and has, in, what was it, 9 years' time, started 12 churches, built a building to seat 1,000 people, all cash in Russia. And I said, are you preparing the atmosphere, Alexei, Anatoly? He said, yes, in Russian. I've chained my intercessors to the altar. Hallelujah. He was joking, kind of, hallelujah. But I've got there and in a weekend's time ministered to 100 people and not felt tired at all, because there wasn't anything the enemy could have done. They'd so saturated the atmosphere with prayer and praise and deep intercession that there was a platform for God and God alone to let His, or an altar to let His fire fall on. And one service that I had with him, there was a guy standing. I didn't know who he was, a pastor. I gave him a word and kept going. The next year, he grabbed me and started saying in Russian. And I said, I can't do now. I talk to you now. I got all these people. And the translator said, no, you want to hear this. He said, last year I was standing there. My wife was told by the doctors that the baby she was carrying had died in the womb, and they wanted to DNC it and take it out, kill it. And we weren't willing, though there was no signs of life. It stopped developing. And that night you'd prophesied a word to me about warring and standing and believing. We took that as the word of the Lord, war and stood and believe. All of a sudden she passed all this blood, which is not a good sign. The next day went to the hospital. They did the test and the baby was alive. And it's a two-year-old baby now. That's why we got to stop playing games in North America and build an atmosphere. Because I'm tired of minor things happening. My God, we need something major. I'm saying that reverentially. My God, we need something major. Because the pagans are at their height of defiance against God. So when sin abounds, I got good news for you. Grace does much more abound. How many want to build an atmosphere? So I don't care if you're saved 1 week or 50 years. If you can get serious, because one of the great prophecies that was given in the New Testament was given to a guy who just got saved a few days before. I've heard that. You know, you have to be mature to get a real word from God. Who ever heard that nonsense? Let me tell you who it was. His name was Saul of Tarsus. One of the worst enemies of the church, and had a blinding, glorious revelation on the Damascus Road. And then here he is, blinded by the glory, and he saw in a vision Ananias coming, and Ananias saw him in the vision, got the name of the house that he was in, the street that he was on. It's revelation, by the way. Spirit world opening. That's why we have to seek the Lord and build an atmosphere. I said the spirit world opening. But then he went to him and laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul," that was an act of faith. Because all he knew, he was a murdering, cutthroat, religious devil. But that man had died on the Damascus Road. And Paul was born again. But he went in and laid his hands on him in Acts chapter 9 and notice this. "Brother Saul, the Lord that appeared to you on the way, da-da-da-da-da, and he sent me to you to tell you, you're going to be a vessel of God, a chosen vessel to the heathen world, to the Jews, and to world leaders." Now, that's a pretty high-level word for a new convert, don't you think? But in that word being spoken, there was so much of God released that everything that God told that new convert would come to pass, and he would write a third of the New Testament. That's why I believe in biblical. How many hear that word? Biblical New Testament prophetic ministry. And I don't care what group says otherwise. I want to see biblical results. Hallelujah. And if we're not seeing them, we need to get on our face until we do. And release our faith till we do. I'm like Jacob. I'm not letting go until he blesses me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. So, true prophetic word. Now, let me ask the balance. This is important. God help any ministry when you start making people's decisions for them. I'm not called to make your decisions. If you're going against Scripture, I'll tell you that. But I'm not going to get in the way of a train that's headed towards you. That is the consequences of going against the Word of God. I'll be there to pick you off the line. But anyhow, if you can't follow the written Word, you're not going to follow the spoken Word. If you can't follow the written word, you can't follow the spoken word. When Paul got those words as a young convert, he impassionately pursued Jesus. And if you follow the chronology of Paul's life, that is the time sequels, he went as much as 13 years, disappeared from the scene. My God, that prophetic word that he was given as a brand new believer released such grace in his life, though he was in Tarsus and in the wilderness and went to Jerusalem and came back. They didn't see him for at least a decade. That word that Paul got sustained him and formed him and caused things to happen. And now, I want to say this. 2 points in this. Prophecy never takes from you your or my obligation of studying the Bible. If you are not a person that studies Scriptures and you're running after prophecy, all you're going to get is superficial stuff. Because here's the principle. Fill the pots with water and he turned it into wine. Water represents washing the water, the Word, and then he turned it into new wine. Wine represents Scripture, the Holy Spirit. So if you fill your life with the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Holy Spirit will manifest himself to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Remember, John chapter 2, first he filled the water pots with what? Water. Then he turned the water into what?
Wine.
Didn't turn the wine into water. You see, without the Word of God, people think it's something called the Holy Spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit. It's either flesh or another spirit. That's why to get deep things from the Holy Spirit, fill yourself with the Word of God. How many hear that? And as a new convert, if they get a real word from God, we have to disciple them to become students of the Scripture. Now, I know this works because when I was first converted, I had serious brain damage from drugs. And I put myself in the Word of God for years, and I want to give God the glory. He gave me my mind back. Because there's healing through the Word. I had a friend, he was almost special needs, almost retarded, and God told him to learn, to memorize the New Testament, and gave him a prophecy from proven prophets that he was going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to the front lines for Jesus. It was impossible for that to happen. He was very, very, very damaged and grew up very, very abused. And when he heard that word from God, memorize the New Testament, he started off by faith, memorizing a few verses. All of a sudden, God started doing a miracle, and that young man memorized the whole New Testament. Ended up in China leading Bible smuggling expeditions and led whole villages to the Himalayas. Today leads one of the biggest organizations bringing Bibles into China. I saw God take that man who was destroyed, give him a prophetic word, and hear me. He took those water pots called his life and filled them with the Word, filled them with the water, and God turned them into new wine. And today he has a supernatural ministry doing what few people can do. We cannot turn prophecy into a reason for us being lazy. You know, in the occult, they always go to a witch or a warlock. We're not in the occult. We're in the true Holy Spirit. We're following the living God, and he's jealous for us to learn his word. And all a true prophecy does is cause that true word to unfold in your life. Because the Spirit and the Word agree. Fill your water pots, your personal lives, with the water of the Word. And then he will turn it into new wine. The more I get revelation from Scripture, the more I get into the Lord, all of a sudden these manifestations of God happen. Because what are these manifestations of the Spirit? It's the Word coming alive today. And so one of the weird things that can happen is that people divorce the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures or the Scriptures from the Holy Spirit. They work together. I said they work together. They work together. And so prophecy is a part of discipleship. That is learning to walk with God. Saul of Tarsus got a word, and it was a word that would form his whole life when he was a brand new convert. Peter got a word. Let's look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, Andrew did, Peter. And Jesus beheld him and said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah, and you shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. He said, "You are, but you shall be." Here was Jesus. He saw the way Peter was, but he also saw prophetically how Peter was going to be. And I've seen God speak over people's lives things that it couldn't come to pass because I knew them in the flesh. They were such unstable, unfruitful, some of them unfaithful people, and give it 10 years' time, they're pastors. Something happened. It's called, hear me, transformation. God, through the written word, through the spoken word, prophecy, and other gifts of the Spirit, can take broken people and put them back together again better than ever before. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
See, prophecy plays its part in true spiritual development. Now let's go back to Timothy. We're going to tie this in. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery or eldership. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by the laying on of hands. Now, in 1948, it was the beginning of the healing move of God, but there was also another move of God that started off very good in the spirit. There came some excess and error, but it was greatly opposed by a number of Pentecostal denominations. It was called the Latter Rain Movement. And in the Latter Rain Movement, God gave them this scripture, a Bible school way up in Saskatchewan province of Canada, Western Canada. God poured out his spirit, and a man I know who had a friend that was there said 14-year-old girls were prophesying like Isaiah the prophet. Prophetic ministry was restored to the church. And yet there were those who, hear me, who were set in tradition that didn't like new revelation. And they didn't compare Scripture with Scripture. They compared Scripture with their previous doctrines. That is, the light they used to have. And Pentecostal groups said, there's no such thing as personal prophecy. Well, my answer to that is, since when did God become impersonal? God is personal. I don't even have to think about that one. But not only is God personal, prophecy isn't something just general. It's meant to be something specific to bless, heal, change, and give, that's impart to others, the things of God. And the false teaching that came through various groups at that time was, there's no such thing as impartation through the laying on of hands. Well, that sounds good till you study the Bible without glasses of tradition on. When Moses laid his hands on Joshua, the anointing that was on Moses came on Joshua. The tragedy with Joshua, there was no one he laid his hands on. So without ongoing impartation, we lose future leadership. But without the laying on of hands, the church, that is, members of the church, do not get the gifts, anointings, and callings that God wants them to have. Because the truth of the New Testament church, and we're moving towards that, is God wants every member to function. Every what? Every member, not just a pastor, not just deacons, not just elders, not just evangelists, not just prophets. God wants the whole church to move in the Spirit and to have giftings and anointings and callings and abilities. And that's why the devil doesn't want this scripture. And the Pentecostal church rejected it. And the various ones that did, they've never been the same. Because hear me, without true prophetic ministry, the church is dwarfed. The church is limited. The church is hindered. And yes, there are dangers. I just spoke about it. It has to be scriptural. It has to be judged according to Scripture. It has to be people that are first filling their life with the Word of God. And hear me, another thing. It has to be people that are in the church, not against the church. We saw that Acts 13. It has to be in a good atmosphere so it's not flesh and unscriptural nonsense going on. But nonetheless, just because there's counterfeit money, you're not going to see me out here during the intermission burning real money. If you do, someone call somebody in white, not angels. Hallelujah. See, just because there's counterfeit doesn't mean you throw out the genuine. I mean, I love pastors. I have a pastor. But I've seen false pastors, and I love evangelists, and I've seen corrupt evangelists. But I believe in evangelists. I believe in pastors, and I've seen off the wall false prophets. But I'm not going to negate the real thing. And so the answer to error is not denial, but the real thing, and excess order. But God wants prophetic ministry coming in all our lives, so He can release more and more impartation, more and more confirmation, more and more direction, more and more impartation. Not that someone is prophesying to you how to paint your house and who you're to marry, because never is prophecy for marriage. That's between you and God. It's one of those sacred areas. But apart from that, God wants to be speaking continuously to His church in line with Scripture, because Paul, who would write the Scriptures, didn't say, Timothy, you got some Scripture, stand on them, boy. He said, no, you got prophetic word, Timothy. God has spoken to you in agreement with the scriptures and has released things in your life. Now take those scriptures and take those prophetic words that God spoke to you and war successfully. And you know, Timothy did, because he was a martyr like Paul was a martyr. Prophetic ministry. Say, well, I was in a church and, you know, forget your background. Get rid of your rearview mirror. You're in a safe place. And we want this to be biblical. And when I'm here, I'm under the pastor's authority. And I have a track record of 20 years. And anybody who comes in here is not going to be some nutcase or some corrupt ministry. They're going to be someone who's coming to build this church. How many hear that? To build the church. Because, hear me, real prophecy and any real gift, anything of the Spirit builds the church. And reaches the world. Again and again, this prophetic anointings, yes, there's laying on hands in prophecy. Yes, there's revelation prophecy. Yes, there's ministry of a prophet and on. But God wants prophetic anointing on everything that's done in the church. Prophetic business, prophetic music, prophetic evangelism. I keep running into the same woman all over the world that is by name. And whenever I run it, I say, what's your name? And they tell me. I said, there you are again. They look at me like, it's Rachel. I keep running into Rachel. Coming out of Vietnam, Rachel. Up Alaska, Rachel. Going in the middle of the United States, Rachel. Going to New York, Rachel. Maybe God is saying something. And when I tell them that, their eyes light up because, hear me, Rachel was one who was mightily used to God in the lineage, right? I came all the way back from Vietnam once. I said, Lord, am I to minister to anybody? I didn't feel led to do anything, so I was half asleep. I get on the plane going from Los Angeles to Sacramento. That's an hour flight up all the way to California, about an hour and a half. I sat down, the woman sat, and I started talking to her about the Lord. She'd been divorced, and now had another abusive situation. I said, well, you want me to pray for you? She said, yes, I'd like that, but I don't want you to do it one way. And I said, what? I looked at her. She reached over with her hand and went like this, like they do on television. She said, I don't want you to do that to me. I said, okay, I won't do that. But I said, honey, this is after 7,000 miles of travel. I said, well, what? No, 10,000 miles of travel. What's your name? She looked at me. She said, my name is Rachel. It's so much to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And we're all learning together. Because we're meant to understand this. We're on a prophetic journey. We are on a prophetic journey. And you say, prove that from the Bible. When they left Egypt, everything they did was prophetic. Egypt represented the world. How many glad we've left the world? We're in the kingdom of God. The Passover lamb was prophetic. The judgments on the God of Egypt were prophetic. The glory cloud was prophetic. The Red Sea was prophetic. The manna was prophetic. The tabernacle was prophetic. The whole journey they were on was prophetic. Even the promised land was going to be prophetic. Are you glad we're a prophetic people on a prophetic journey? And that's why we need the prophetic word of the Lord. Because our roadmap is, thus saith the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Our roadmap is the word of God coming alive before us. And I look back, you know, when my daughter-in-law comes here with David, my son, to minister to you. That's so prophetic because an English prophet, and I used to hate before I saved English people. When I got saved, I didn't hate them. I just didn't like them. How? Because I went to an English school in Switzerland growing up overseas. I always was the worst student in the whole school. But anyhow, who is God going to use to direct our life? An English prophet. And I never forget, he laid his hands on my wife and I, thus saith the Lord, go to Eastern Europe. Afterwards, I said to my wife, this guy's off the wall. I've got a ticket to Western Europe. And my wife said, yeah, if this is God, we need confirmation. May I say God listens to your conversations? Hallelujah. Daniel says, I'm come for your words. So I'm in this nutcase church in New York City, since it wasn't Arkansas, but it's crazy. And the whole night, the more they were supposedly prophesying, they wanted me a part of it, but thank God I said no. The more they prophesied, the worse it got. Just such an oppressive spirit. May I say, if God's speaking, you go sense his presence. But I was getting up because I told the pastor that brought me there, get me out of here fast. And he saw the look on my face. He knew I wanted to leave. So we got up to leave, and one of the guys that was trying to prophesy, I'll never forget, it's like it happened right now. He stopped, turned around like this towards me. So it's New York City. I had my hand on my wallet, my other one ready. Hallelujah. And this guy got this far from my face with big eyes, looked at me, and hear me, that guy wasn't living right then and he wasn't living right now. I won't give any description on that one, but he's not. But in the Bible, God spoke through a donkey, and there's plenty of them out there. Hallelujah. But he got that close to my face, and hear me, this is what he said. Thus saith the Lord. I said to myself, come on, I'll tell you if it's thus saith the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord. He never met me before or since. You're a prophet of the Lord. And here's the next thing. And you're to go to Eastern Europe. And the money you don't have for this trip is coming in. And you will prophesy in the courts of kings. I walked out of there stunned. I said, God, when you want to speak, you'll do it anywhere. So that was such revelation for my prophetic journey, because I just wasn't going to receive that prophecy. I was going to what 2 Chronicles 20, and you need to hear this. Believe his prophets. If you get a true word from God, you don't sit there on your you know what for 20 years doing nothing, because that can destroy your life, because faith without works is. And when you get a word from heaven and it's truly God and there's action demanded, you need to step out and walk on the water. You need to go through that door. You need to repent of that sin. You need to do something that God has told you to do. So when we went to Eastern Europe without any money, any backing, anything, it was either going to be God or a disaster. I'm glad it was God. I didn't know that my daughter-in-law was in a Romanian village there. I didn't know my son was going to be a missionary there, because here's the thing about your prophetic journey. It opens up when you walk into it. Some people are wanting things to open up and you won't step out. There's God. Prophecy doesn't take faith from you. It ignites faith for you to apply yourself to the Word of God and go into your inheritance. Are there some people who want to go into your inheritance here? Amen. Are there some people who want to receive from God and believe from God and do what heaven has for you? I believe that. That's why I've been coming here for decades. But this has to be told people. If it's a word from God, start a business. If it's a word from God, be a missionary. If it's a word from God, become a pastor. If it's a word from God, reach your neighborhood. If it's a word from God, go get an education. Whatever it is, if it's a confirmed word from God, you just don't sit there. There's not passivity. And hear me, true prophetic word causes God's church to become truly prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic. Because when you see the mess that's in this nation today, God doesn't want that political spirit or that racial spirit or that poverty spirit or that witchcraft spirit in the church. God wants us to be prophetic. What? Model heaven on earth. I said, model heaven on earth. And we need God to do that. Now, I have seen in nations where it's supposedly primitive, 2.5-year-old babies pray for hours. I saw it with my own eyes, and I have witnesses. I've seen 5-year-old kids have tremendous healing miracles. I've seen babies, there were little naked babies, now 14 years later, have reached thousands of people for Christ. And some young kids have started hundreds of churches. I love to see prophecy come to pass. See, Peter said to the Jews, you're the children of the prophets. We're either going to be prophetic children of God or devilish people in this generation. The world looks for psychics. The world looks for witches. The world looks for all this counterfeit stuff. But you know why? Our God is a prophetic God. And in our spiritual DNA, he wants to make us prophetic people. Dreams, visions, prophetic words, impartation, laying on hands and prophecy, clear directions, clear. When you're doing something major, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, get scripture, get pastoral counsel, get prophetic word, then step out. Amen. I said, then step out. Amen. May the Spirit of God release such a new prophetic anointing in this church, as people understand really what it is. God speaking his loving promises, loving calling, loving anointing, and loving plan for their life. May we understand that prophecy is not something that just comes and means nothing. God said from the beginning, Enoch, you are my prophet, you walk with me, and Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied. And then God prophetically spoke through Abraham, and God prophetically would speak through various leaders in the Word of God. Moses, the great prophet of the Lord, Elijah, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And they would all talk about the one that would come, who would be the total sum and perfection of the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now He came and fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And I got good news for you. We are the people upon whom the prophetic Word of the Lord has been spoken and will be spoken and will come to pass. Because the church now is the center of God's prophetic plan on the earth. And there's a prophetic destiny for you and your family. And there's a prophetic destiny for this church and every church to reach the world, to establish the kingdom, and be prepared for His second coming. I expect an increase of the supernatural power of God. I really do. I expect an increase of the supernatural power of God. We must have it to save the land. And God wants us to really go into waters to swim in this year. Do you want to go deep in the Holy Ghost? Do you want to go deep in the presence of God? Do you want to taste and see the Lord is good? May revelation concerning true prophecy come to you. You have nothing to fear, because all that God wants to do through prophecy is bless you, strengthen you, heal you. I've prophesied over women that couldn't have normal marriages. Maybe they were raped or abused. Prophetic word broke that stuff, and they have wonderful marriages now. I've spoke over men. They could never rise up and work because their father had so damaged them, or maybe they've been brought, raised in hellish evil things done to them, and see God break those chains. Because hear me, true prophecy brings deliverance. True prophecy brings deliverance. And you, people, they don't know who they are and where they're going. I've seen true prophecy give identity and direction. Someone here, I forget who it is, They'd already had an operation, so they couldn't have any more kids. And me, I prophesied over them, they're going to have more children. They're pregnant. Hallelujah. Where are you? Hallelujah. Welcome to the prophetic. Hallelujah. You see, here's the thing. Prophecy can bring miracles. Real prophecy. I've never seen it yet, but I want to see it. I prophesied over someone God was going to give them English, and in 2 years' time, they were speaking fluent English, couldn't speak a word. But I've heard words given to people, they immediately get a foreign language. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they did. I'm telling you, there's such a supernatural potential that we're only beginning to walk into. But how many want to go deep in God? I said deep in God. Deep in God. Deep in God. Release your faith for God to speak. And when there's times of prophetic ministry, that's not a time to goof around or run out or get home early. That's a time to pray and build an atmosphere and uphold the hands of those that are ministering and believe for others to get help and get healing, because you are the body of Christ. When one's ministered to, all's ministered to. Say, well, I'm not sure if I believe it. Your battle's not with me, please. Your battle's with the Scriptures. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He spoke yesterday, and He speaks today, and He'll be speaking forever. And He's chosen to use men, prophets, and women, prophetesses, and people in the body of Christ, gifts of prophecy. Because there's different levels to the prophetic. Just like there's different levels to healing, different levels to teaching, different levels in evangelism. There's the spirit of prophecy comes on a church. Everyone can prophesy. There's the gift of prophecy. That's a continual working of prophecy through people. Then there's the prophetic ministry, visions, dreams, revelation that happens in a continual way in a person or minister's life. But then there's the office of the prophet that's to impart, direct, correct, set order, and bring revelation according to Scripture. May the Spirit of God release high levels of prophetic ministry in your church and His church in this land. May God be releasing and activating the body of Christ through the laying on of hands and prophecy. May God speak loud and clear. May there be breakthroughs and impartation. May the fire of heaven descend upon the altar. And may God's church become a prophetic church where the gifts of the Spirit, the callings of God, the deep inner and outer healing and confirmation to the prophetic journey that their life is on comes to pass. I end with this statement. I was in Idaho, and there's a guy there who's the pastor. I prophesied over him 25 years ago that he was to be... Please look at me. Get your eyes off the baby. I prophesied to him 25 years ago that he was to be a pastor. So now he's a pastor. And I also spoke this... I spoke something to him, and it took decades. How many hear that? Decades to come to pass. But he had a guy come in his church that killed many people. He was an enforcer for the Hell's Angels. In fact, when he was in the Marines, he killed three people that attacked him, and he got a dishonorable discharge. Somehow he got out. But on the way to take that former Hell's Angel to a church to get healing and deliverance, he said, I want to tell you a prophecy that Bill gave me 20-some years ago. He said, what? He said, you're going to deal with people, even the Hell's Angels, people that no one else can touch. Are you glad when God speaks something, He arranges your life. He opens doors. He sets the captive free through you. So God can give you promises, like He said, Timothy, by these prophecies, war a good warfare. You take what God says to you. You stand on what God says to you. You focus on what God says to you. And whether it takes a week or a month or 13 years like it did for Paul or 10 years like it did for Joseph, or in the generations to come, like it has for certain people, God speaks to them about their life and beyond their life. Take what God has promised you and encourage the next generation to. When God says a word, take that word by faith, take it in prayer, war with that word for what God has promised you. Nothing on earth or the heavens above or the darkness beneath will rob from you your potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Timothy, hands were laid on you. Now take that impartation and war with it and be more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Prophetic ministry. Just touched on a few things here tonight, but I believe it's simple enough that someone can hear it and know the joy of it, yet the seriousness of it. Because if people stand here ignorant, God once or twice can bless them, but the depth of what He wants to do, I would just want to be like this, be like Mary. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm open for what God says. It may be confirmation. It may be comfort. It may build me up. It may warn me. It may add on to me, or it can diversify what God's already given me. It can talk about future, or it can heal my past. It can give me anointings. It can give me giftings. It can heal me physically or heal me emotionally. I'm just open to whatever God has to say to me. I'm not here with resistance or fear. I'm receptive. You know, a magnet attracts, right? And I've been in a big conference. Nobody knows me there. I come in, all of a sudden somebody, will that man stand back there? You know why? I have a magnet for prophetic word because I've sown a lot of prophetic and I'm going to reap it too. Hallelujah. I was with my pastor once when one of my kids had gone wacko. You know, you guys know what that is, right? And I said, I've got to hear from God this weekend. How many hear that? From someone who doesn't know me. So we prayed and I was broken up and I'm preaching at a church and ministered to a lot of people. And I'll never forget this. There was a woman at the back standing here like this with her long coat on. It was winter for 2 hours. And I thought, is this woman? Because she had a weird look. She's standing there like this and she's looking at me. So I try to ignore her. Afterwards, she comes up. I said, oh, I wonder if this will be trouble or blessing. She comes up. Do you remember me? I said, no. I knew you 20 years ago. I said, yes. She said, I have to ask you something. I said, yes. She said, do you have a daughter? I said, I'm giving you no hints. What's going on? She said, all right. God told me you have a daughter and she's in such and such a sin that no one knew but a few of us. And God wants you to know the battle is won in the heavenlies. And by the way, God sees your heart, how much it hurts. Something I'd prayed in prayer. God, don't you see what my heart's going through? Something I prayed. Only God Almighty, even my pastor, my wife did. Only God. How many know God can speak what's in your heart? So you know it's God speaking to you. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14 talks about. The secrets of the heart will be revealed. And people will fall on their face and say, God's in this church. That's why the enemy doesn't want prophecy. So people say, is God there or not? But I'm telling you, God speaks supernaturally and He's looking for hungry people in every nation and every city and every village and every town that want to hear from heaven and want the true prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ ministering to them. And then one day when we teach this again, ministering through them. we'll go there one day, that God will have dozens of people that are accurately prophesying in this church. But we need it grounded in our spirit. What is this? When someone comes and says, that's not biblical, show them it is biblical. When someone says, that's just like a psychic, it is not psychic. It's Holy Spirit and Word of God. When someone says, I got this word and I'm waiting, show them. A lot of people had to wait, including Saul of Tarsus, for the word to be made flesh. Say, I've had such battles since I got prophecy. Show them what Timothy was told. By these prophecies, war, good warfare. Well, they say, well, things came to pass, but their guy died and some didn't. Elijah was told he was going to have double the miracles of Elijah, and he died. One miracle was missing. After he died, someone was dropped into his tomb, and that dead body came alive. The miracle was fulfilled. May the Holy Spirit release great prophetic manifestations in your sleep, in your business, in your family, in your prayer time. May God lift the bar. And may God make prophetic hunger so strong in this church so that it's very easy to take you and impart into deep things and impart you the very higher things that heaven wants to activate now. Because the whole church needs to be equipped and activated, and part of it is laying on hands and prophecy according to Scripture for the glory of God. May the prophetic God of heaven speak to this church. May the prophetic God of heaven manifest in this church. May the prophetic God of heaven speak so clear to you that you know God knows the secrets of your heart that no one else could know. And may God open doors like He did for me into Romania, like He did for me into Vietnam, like He did for me into Cambodia, because God has doors for your life because you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And prophecy is one of the ways to open closed doors and bring out potential in you you didn't even know was there, and break satanic strongholds that are holding you back. May the God of heaven watch over His word to fulfill it in this church for the glory of God. Because I end with this to say, there's a lot of prophetic seed that is yet to germinate in this church. Things God has said, but God's getting ready to pour out the very goodness of His love and grace, the very rain of heaven, to cause prophetic word to germinate and come to pass in your life for the glory of God. Let's give Him a victory shout as we close. Give Him a victory shout! Could we stand in His presence? The body of Christ, giftings, anointings, callings, supernatural doors. We're on a prophetic journey. And the reason I know we're going to make it is because Jesus has a will and a plan that nothing's going to stop. Nothing's going to stop. The only thing that will hinder us is our unbelief. Let's do 2 Chronicles 20. Believe His prophets that you can prosper. How many want to believe His prophets? Believe His word. Believe His anointing. Believe in His Spirit. Prayerfully back and build an atmosphere in your personal life, in your church life, so God can minister. May the spirit of faith fall on this church. May prophetic anointing fall on this church. May increased ministry come to this church. Anointing break the yoke. Lord, our nation needs miracles. Our nation needs true gifts of the Spirit. This next generation needs impartation. May we fill our water pots with water that the Lord can turn them into new wine. The Word and the Spirit combining miraculously. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the world runs out of wine, we won't, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a supernatural coming of your Spirit, for a coming of a prophetic anointing in an increased measure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we're in your presence tonight, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray you make this clear to your people, Lord. We don't want flesh prophecy. We don't want soulish prophecy. We don't want false prophecy. We want biblical prophecy, but we want it. And we believe for the real thing, and we will honor the real thing, and we will build an atmosphere, and we will take what you've spoken and war with it and stand on it and believe it and water it by patience until everything heaven has spoken will come to pass. Because there's a prophetic journey we're on. We're not going to die in the wilderness. Come, Spirit of God, manifest Jesus into this church. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let prophetic oil be poured into this place. Through prophecy, release healings, confirm vision, dream, break and destroy the plan of the enemy, like the organist one year where cancer was healed through prophetic word. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We want to embrace the prophetic anointing in all of our life. Prophetic intercession, prophetic business, prophetic teaching, prophetic worship, prophetic intercession, prophetic warfare. Come, Spirit of the living God, pour out your oil upon this generation. Pour out your oil on this church. Now, Lord, let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.